I'm Kurt Anderson in Studio 360 today with the author and astronomer Mario Livio. His recent book is called The Equation That Couldn't Be Solved, How Mathematical Genius Discovered the Language of Symmetry. Mario, do you like Escher's works?
Not only like, I'm, you know, really enthused by Escher's work. Escher is absolutely phenomenal. I don't think there is anybody who doesn't actually like Escher's work. I mean, even if you have to be impressed at the very least. I mean, some of his things are so fantastic that, you know, they just boggle your mind. And if you look at science books, you know, it is almost hard to find a science book that when they want to actually put something visual in it, that they would not include some of Escher's work.
Well, architecture, of all of the arts, does seem like a place that is all about symmetry more than the other visual arts, certainly, as much as music, and more obviously so.
There is a lot of that. Of course, you know, you look at most churches and most buildings, really, you know, and so on, and they are symmetric. Of course, you know, there are more modern streams that you will see where people actually do things not in a symmetric fashion. Some of the buildings, as a result of that, I mean, they are artistically very attractive or very interesting, but not always that functional. I mean, you, of course, you know, see buildings, for example, of Gaudi, you know, this great architect that, you know, every building looks like a sculpture. You know, it doesn't even look like a building. Now, of course, it takes very, very long to do those things, and this is why La Sagrada Familia, you know,
they're still working on it in Barcelona.
Yeah, that's right. So that's still not finished.
So the sort of perverse modern impulse to be asymmetrical is running against the tide, the overwhelming and irresistible tide of symmetry.
Yeah, it's running against, you know, what our minds are sort of trained to expect in some sense.
The astronomer Mario Livio is with me today in Studio 360. Like some of the modern architects we were talking about, some modern composers have sacrificed beauty for the sake of innovation occasionally. But one contemporary composer who makes music listeners actually like is Steve Reich. Maybe because a lot of his music adheres to more conventional notions of beauty, that is, of symmetry. Trent Wolbe talked to Steve Reich about the ways that composers and musicians use various kinds of symmetry to evoke various feelings in listeners.
Steve Reich is one of the most forward-thinking composers working today. But his most profound encounter with symmetry in composition dates back to the 18th century.
The C major prelude to Book One of the Well-Tempered Clavier by Johann Sebastian Bach, the symmetry of it is staggering, and everybody who is interested in symmetry in music, or I must admit, people who, you know, want to point out precursors of what has become known as minimal music, will generally pick out this prelude, the C major prelude of Book One of the Well-Tempered Clavier, as a forerunner of that because of the extreme symmetry of the rhythmic construction of the prelude. Every bar is in continuous 16th notes. It's written in 4/4. And if you were to break it down into the left hand, right hand, you have left, left, right, 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 left, left, right, 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 left, left, right, 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 right. Completely unchanging throughout the prelude except for the very, very ending. Now, is it just repetition? No. It's what's called in music sequences. The rhythm stays the same, but the notes change. And basically he goes through beautiful series of harmonies in C major, beginning and ending in that key. The utter simplicity of it, the utter symmetry of it, may be a way of saying, I'm going to build something for you, and it's going to get fairly elaborate, and I'm going to really start simply. And I'm going to start in the most basic key, and I want you to just follow this.
Reich also looked at Balinese compositions and found unique types of symmetry distinct from the harmonic kind found in the European tradition.
there's a kind of rhythmic complexity and rhythmic counterpoint that far surpasses anything in the West. I studied Balinese gamelan Samar Pahlavi, which is a very antique gamelan, which is a fairly large ensemble of metallophones, bars of metal suspended over resonators, maybe 20 or more people plus drums. And again, there's a lot of symmetry in the individual parts. What's interesting there in Balinese music, you'll have people playing, you know, 16th notes, we might say. Other people playing ding, 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 eighth notes. Other people playing half notes. Other people, then you've got some guy sitting there with some huge gong, and he plays once every 64 beats, he lets it go. And, you know, that marks off the entire larger cycle. What does this come down when you're listening? When you're listening, you feel like you're hearing, like, you know, a very slow-moving train and a kind of moderately moving train and a really fast, you know, express train moving along at the same time. All those parts are unto themselves symmetrically. You have a great deal of repetition, and they will have interlocking parts where the rests are filled in by the beats of the other part. It creates new rhythmic, melodic interest, because there is no harmony in our sense of the word. You're basically staying in the same key or mode for, you know, for a long time.
Symmetry in Balinese gamelan is a frantic and complex rush. But one of the oldest examples in the European tradition is a little simpler. It's called a canon, or a round. Something like row, row, row your boat.
The first one we know about comes from a tune that's called Somebody is a coming in, Ludus in Cuckoo. That's about probably 13th century. Then you've got, you know, Bach writing canons that sound like Bach. Then you've got Bartok writing canons that sound like Bartok. In 2004, I completed a piece called You Are Variations. Second movement is a canon, another canon, which is going to be turned into a round, just like row, row, row your boat. Now, something happens after that, which is also an aspect of symmetry, of changing gears, if you like, and then having another symmetrical relationship. And that's what's called in music augmentation. In simple English, it means the notes get longer. It's like you saw a film at regular speed, and then you saw it slightly in slow motion. Dee-dum becomes dee-dum. Someone says, well, you know, what does a canon sound like? The answer is, I have no idea. What's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is that it's like an open, empty vessel. It says, here is a sound followed by itself in perfect symmetry. I don't know what that sound is. You got a glass. What are you going to put in the glass? Well, I don't know, bourbon, Coca-Cola, glass of water, seltzer? I mean, I have no idea. The glass will hold them. It's a vessel. But it's an empty vessel. It will always assume that shape, and the content is completely up to you.
For Studio 360, I'm Trent Woolby.
Steve Reich's latest album is called Phases. Our story was produced by Trent Woolby.